Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
All right, good morning. Welcome into the show, Bill Ryder with you. Appreciate you spending some time with us here. Thank you. If you ever miss the show, you can't get to it live, don't worry. We have a podcast version. It is on the free Odyssey app, which is where I would go if I were you, or conversely, wherever you happen to get, download, listen to whatever podcasts you fill your life up with. I fill my life up with time with Pretty Daddy. And if you want to do that a little bit too, the executive producers on Twitter at Pretty Daddy CBS. I'm on their sports writer, sports R-E-I-T-E-R, phone number 855-2124-CBS. Lots of great stuff to get to. But let's just start with a little celebration of UConn. Hell of a victory. Dominating, dominating win. Dan Hurley is now the maestro, the man behind, the coveted head coach of one of the most dominant runs we have seen in college basketball history after handling Purdue 75-60 yesterday behind a really, really good second half. We got teased a little bit that maybe we'd have a good game, a close game. Zach Edey was outstanding, at least statistically. But that UConn team, as they have done this year, as they have done last year in crowning themselves national champions, didn't just win this thing, they dominated this thing. And I'm not going to get carried away with over-the-top takes about how now Hurley's the fourth best coach in history or that is the best college basketball team of all time. Let's just leave it at it is a dominating run. It is one of the great two-year runs we've seen in the history of the sport. And there's no doubt that UConn, you've seen this stat everywhere, but slap me in the face, so I'm going to say it to you again, is one of the, if not the, dominant programs in college basketball. Not just the six national championships in the last 25 years, although that is true. But remember, two of the six come at a time where the sport, and we talked to Tom Crean, I did about this yesterday, is so different in how it's constructed and how you recruit players and how you build programs and how you navigate NIL, transfer portal, the expectations of recruits based on those things. It's almost a different competition. It is a different competition. It's almost a different sport. And UConn has still continued, this time under Hurley, this really impressive run in March of excellence and greatness. They're now tied with UNC, think about this, for the third most national championships in history behind Kentucky, who's looking for a head coach, and I have a suggestion. And somebody on this network or somewhere else brought out this name as if it was some lightning bolt when he's the betting favorite. But I'll give you why my guy maybe, you know, it's not me. I just, Vegas is saying it's Scott Drew. We'll talk about that. Whoa! Do that in a little. I got an idea. UCLA has 11, Dr. Wooden, of course. UConn has been raised, and obviously Dan Hurley, the current architect of that reality, to a height fairly unimaginable. In fact, I saw the other day, Chris Hassel is a colleague of mine at CBS Sports HQ, very talented anchor over there. Like me, he's from Iowa, so he's always tweeting about Iowa. And he put out that in the 90s, the Hawkeyes, right, his vantage point, that's how he sees the world through that prism, played UConn in the Sweet 16. At that point, UConn had never been past the Sweet 16. Now they are the third most successful program in the history of the sport. And a big part of the reason is the guy that's coaching them has somehow turned their blood blue. They are a blue blood program now. And credit to them, remarkable, remarkable run. And we came into this game, and I made this point, and Tom made it again this morning to me, and it's true to a degree, right? Different. I think I made it to Tom Crean. Zach Edey and Caitlin Clark are vastly different kinds of players. Caitlin Clark is obviously an amazing shooter. As we know, she's a facilitator and a creator. She handles the ball. She is, for lack of a better comparison, a Steph Curry-esque talent. Edey is a beast of a man. 7'4", not going to be the top pick in his draft. Clark almost certainly will be in hers. He'll probably be, I talked to some scouts yesterday, and you can just Google it, but I wanted to, mid-end of the first round, the right place can be really good. But he is, like her, the dominant focal point of their offense. And he had a really good game. He put up a, and by the way, can I just, we're going to get into Draymond Green later if there's time with Klay Thompson, having some candid conversations to Draymond Green. Klay said to him on his podcast, Draymond said, give me the brutal honesty. Draymond wasn't talking to me, but I'll do it. You don't need to sound like Skip Bayless. And I'm like bringing that guy up. You don't need to do it, Dre. Going after the Purdue star and basically my words, but his meaning, calling the kid a bum. The dude was awesome. It's just that UConn had a plan, and that plan was we will let this guy beat us. We will let him get his. I don't think it's that dissimilar from what South Carolina cooked up 2 days ago against Iowa, only they didn't anticipate that Caitlin Clark was going to go for 18 in the first quarter, which is when the game literally was close. And as Caitlin Clark became a mere mortal, South Carolina pulled away. And as Edey was a mere mortal, although really good, but his teammates couldn't help him, one guy against a team, that's when UConn started to pull away. And Dan Hurley, after the game, by the way, I'm not mad at him. He's arrogant. I'm better than everybody. I'm smarter than you. If you can back it up, you can back it up. And the reason he can back it up is he comes up like plans with this one where he talked about it didn't matter if the best player in this tournament had a great game.
We didn't want to give up threes. We didn't care if Zach took 25, 28 shots to get 30, 35 points. This whole game plan was like no Smith, no Lawyer, no Gillis, no Jones. You'll keep that collective group under 18, 20 points as a group, they had no chance to win, no matter how well Zach played.
You know, it's so smart, and it makes me think that there's a new maxim out there. I'm gonna change an old truth. I'm going to re-jiggle it, recalibrate it to the reality of today. It used to be offense sells tickets, and defense wins championships, right? It's a good one. I've even said it to my kids, trying to explain how to clean their why they have to clean their room. Doesn't make sense, but sometimes it works. But the reality is that today, stars, individual superstars, sell tickets, and teams win championships. That's the new and actual reality. And that's the really interesting reality that played out in both South Carolina's incredible undefeated run and UConn's remarkable back-to-back run. Think about this. We just saw, in different ways, for UConn it's a single season. For South Carolina it's a single season. Excuse me, for UConn it's over two seasons. Two of the most dominant championship exclamation points behind something special, maybe in the history of the sport. Obviously for South Carolina, Dawn Staley, for that group, going undefeated and beating Iowa is huge. How'd they do it? They beat a singular star, who was, by the way, and give Staley credit, we talked about this yesterday, the person, as she said, who lifted up, Caitlin Clark lifted up an entire sport. It's a heavy, heavy load. Zach Edey was the best player in this tournament. He was the best player. But he ran into a machine of a team. And let me give you, there's a million ways I can tell you how good UConn is. I'll give you two, because Tom sent me one. He likes to have his, you know, the information he digs up in there. Makes them feel good, and they're smart, so everybody wins. largest point differential in a single NCAA tournament run in history. Previous to this run, remember UConn won last year. Previous to this run, Kentucky plus 129 in 1986. That Villanova team, I actually covered that run. I covered the Final Four in the tournament in 2016, plus 124. And then Duke, that 99 Duke team, plus 123. When that 99 Duke team won the whole thing, UConn was just a program, by the way. In this run, UConn was plus 140. It's the best point differential in history. It's the most dominant run by how many points UConn, any champion, outscored their opponents in history. But listen to this from Pat Forty, who I really like, and not just because he went to the best journalism school on the face of the earth, University of Missouri. Let's go. Sit down, Syracuse. Sit down, Northwestern. Forgot somebody. Sit down, whoever else I forgot. Here's a stat from Forty. I'm just going to read you his tweet. Most impressive stat I found from UConn's two-year storming of the tournament. The guy can even write in X's. And what do they call them? X drops or whatever. It has trailed in the second half of those games. Listen to this. It has trailed UConn in the second half of those 12 tournament games for a total of 53 seconds. Let that sink in. Over the course of back-to-back championships in which we have seen, ask Cal, he's walking his dog and looking for a new house in Arkansas, teams lose to 15 and 13 and 14 seeds or worse. In a tournament that is made of magic, and magic means Cinderella, right? Cinderella means the upset. This UConn team has trailed in the second half of those games for a total of 53 seconds. The first 15 against Iona last year, that's 15 seconds. In round one, and 38 seconds versus St. Mary's in round two. The last 10 games, they have not trailed in the second half for a single second. Teams are what win championships. Stars sell tickets. And I'll tell you this, too, and I wanted to wait 10 minutes, and I waited 10 minutes, because give UConn all their flowers, all of them. Take your flowers. I did not find that game nearly as interesting as the game the day before. And I can tell you or pretend to tell you that's because sort of the game was closer in the South Carolina-Iowa game. But in fairness, they do quarters. But in the fourth quarter, that game was basically over. I could tell you or you could pretend that maybe South Carolina chasing undefeated is so magical that it had more interest. But that wasn't the appeal, although it was really cool when it happened. No, Caitlin Clark's a bigger star than Zach Edey. And it is stars that lift up sports, even if they don't win championships. And it also is true, and it became apparent in this run for Purdue, and nothing against that Purdue program, or Matt Painter, who did an amazing, amazing job. But neither of those teams, Iowa nor Purdue, were at the same level athletically or talent-wise. They just weren't as the teams that beat them. And in the end, beat them pretty handily. And they had a plan last night, as we let you hear, to let Zach Edey do what he did and not really have it affect the outcome. And that's kind of the way that it went. South Carolina had a plan, and it almost didn't work, or at least for long stretches of the game, because Clark was that good. Zach Edey's a really good player, and he's going to play in the NBA probably. He'll get drafted, certainly, and we'll see if he has a career. And I think he was the best player in this tournament. He was great, okay? He's not the greatest college basketball player of all time, men's college basketball player of all time. He's not the 10th best men's basketball player of all time. He's not one of the 100 best men's college basketball players of all time. Caitlin Clark is one or two or whatever. I mean, she's one for me, but whatever. I don't argue about it. She is at that level, right? To have an NBA comparison, you want to argue it's LeBron, you want to argue it's Mike, you want to argue it's Kareem, you've had too much to drink and you live in L.A., and you want to argue it's Kobe. Right, gotcha, awesome. You haven't had enough to drink and you live in San Antonio, you want to argue it's Duncan, also cool. Edey's not on that level. Caitlin Clark is. And part of the reminder, too, is these sports that we watch, these sports that captivate us, unless you are from UConn or you are from South Carolina, the thing that captivates us is individual excellence, is individual greatness. And that is a hard thing to find on the level that Caitlin Clark had. It's a hard thing to find a level that Zach Edey had. Look, UConn has amazing players. I'm not taking anything away from them. They'll have a bunch of pros. They always do. But that was a team win. And we're at a time now where it is individual stars that that bring out Hollywood actors pretending that they've rooted for a team forever and pull in people like me, maybe who haven't watched, and bring in sponsorships. And I'm going to do this in a second, but peak a women's college basketball game final still at 24 million people, an average of 18 million. It's stars that do that. And it's teams that win championships. And that is the tension between the things. So congratulations to UConn. Not as interesting a story because there wasn't as interesting a start in that game, but it's a dominant, dominant run. Extraordinarily impressive. And Dan Hurley made a very funny joke about Kentucky, saying, I just moved my wife to Rhode Island for a while, and then UConn, and I just started making real money. This guy was a high school coach 12 years ago. He said, I just started making money. I can't afford to get divorced yet. Funny. He's a funny guy. He's arrogant, but he's a funny guy. Congrats, UConn. 855-212-4CBS. Here's what's cool about that phone number. It is free. Not that that really matters anymore, because every call is free on your cell phone. I mean, let's be honest. Hey, here's a free number, 855-212-4CBS. Oh, that's really nice. It's free. But for the few of you that I suppose still have landlines, I have one. It's weird, right? That have landlines and I guess call long distance and get charged for that, we got you. Or if you want to go to a phone booth, right? I saw one the other day. If you see one of the 12 phone booths left in America, 855-212-4CBS. Totally free, even though every call you basically pay for in advance. Let's do this. I want to talk a little bit about those numbers behind Iowa, South Carolina, and I want to tell you how a woman in a parking lot of a grocery store changed my mind on the most significant event in the universe. It's next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Welcome back to Writer Than You.
I don't get buffets. They charge so much money so I can select from the same amount of food I would have ordered for half the price. Just bring me the pancakes or the Belgian waffle. No, I don't want your $70 buffet. But sir, we have a buffet. It's twice as much money. Yeah, I can make bacon at my house. I know there's a selection of cheeses. Who eats cheeses for breakfast?
On CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back into the show. It's a great point. Sometimes you play those back as if it's a gotcha. That is pure wisdom right there. Also, I'm great at making bacon. I'm so good at making bacon. I have a skill at bacon. 855-212-4CBS. Talking Caitlin Clark, Zach Edey, the two remarkable teams that beat those players' teams, those players and their teams, to crown themselves national champions. South Carolina, undefeated season, awesome. A couple days ago and last night, UConn, not just back-to-back champions, which is hard and rare, not just putting themselves in this elevated company of Kentucky and UCLA and tied with UNC for the number of titles, but just utter domination on the run. And we got some calls at 855-212-4CBS, who want to talk some teams and some stars. Let's go to Atlanta. Cliff, appreciate you, buddy. Thanks for calling from one of my favorite cities. You are on CBS Sports Radio.
Absolutely. I think it's hard to compare athletes of today and athletes of yesteryear. If you look at Caitlin Clark, I mean, the advent of the internet and social media is a huge accelerator, and it allows everyone to participate, not just here in North America, but literally across the planet. Another thing is that the game has evolved. If you look at, you know, Steph Curry, and don't get me wrong, there were undersized players that were successful in the league, but the fact that he can shoot from such a great distance, and you parallel that with what Caitlin Clark has brought to the game, it has brought in viewership. So Lou Alcindor, he didn't have that. He had the newspaper and radio. Michael Jordan didn't have the accelerator that the internet and social media has provided. So it's not exactly fair. It's almost like when people try to compare Tiger Woods to Jack Nicklaus. Jack Nicklaus didn't have the type of technology that they have now. I think athletics was also a big contributor, and there were fewer people, there were fewer professional golfers that played at a very, very high level. So I, you know, in my opinion, I think it's an interesting conversation, but it's not really on the same plane. But good for Caitlin Clark. She's brought a lot of awareness to the women's game, which has exponentially gotten better, but she's brought in that viewership.
Cliff, love the call. It's a great point, man. And let me add to that, because I think it's really interesting. Thanks for calling in Atlanta from work, by the way. Cliff was calling from work, which I really respect. How lucky am I that this is my work? Let me add, too, that as money, and there's always been some money, but as money has increasingly flowed into all these sports and game-changing money, and in the case of Caitlin Clark, NIL wasn't even possible 4 years ago. So for her to be able to make reportedly $10, $12 million already, and that was a month ago, it's probably more now, that money is going to increase excellence or the focus on excellence or the ability to dedicate to excellence. But you're right about social media. It's funny you brought up Jack because the Masters start in a few days. It is Masters week. What's always the best part about being a generalist in sports is that you would go from March Madness to the Masters, or in my case, you would go from March Madness to your house to write about the Masters. It's hard to get a ticket. Jack had that run, and I saw it on social media today, of all places, where he went eagle, birdie, birdie, and he made this amazing birdie at 18 to win the Masters a long time ago in the 70s. And you're right. Like, had we had the level of social engagement on social media, we had none then. But at the level we have now, it would have been a whole other thing, Tiger-like. And I was thinking about Steph. There was social media per se, there was Twitter at least, when Steph was at Davidson. But I covered some of those games, and it was just what the things he would do were so mind-boggling, but it wasn't the same level of social media consumption. It just wasn't. And so people knew about him, but there wasn't the same focus on his greatness to the level that many of us, myself included, because I only covered two or three of his games, or at two or three of his games, were surprised when he did it in the NBA. When Caitlin Clark hopefully went, if Caitlin Clark does it in the WNBA, we won't be surprised. I do think you're right on Edie. I think Caitlin Clark is rare, though. Certainly, you are correct that if she were doing this maybe 5 years ago, certainly 15 or 20, it wouldn't change her greatness. It would change maybe how much we pay attention to it. But I think her greatness is fairly historically rare. So yesterday was a solar eclipse, and I said I had no interest. And I bumped into a buddy of mine who told me he sees the sun set enough. He doesn't need to see it set in the middle of the day. Okay, got it. I live on the West Coast. We have pretty nice sunsets. If you want to go down to the ocean, you can drive over there, and the sun just sets. It's pretty spectacular. And I'm going to tell you a story about how a woman at a parking lot changed my view on this. But first, I want you to listen to this, because this is Charles Barkley on NBA on TNT espousing my worldview as I walked through a Ralph's parking lot, but not my worldview after I got out of the Ralph's parking lot.
Well, y'all, some of them losers standing outside watching that today.
They're not losers.
Yes, they are.
It doesn't happen often.
Hey, we've all seen darkness before. Stop it.
No, not in the daylight.
Yeah, yeah. Come on, man.
Chuckster, don't hate on the eclipse.
Come on,
yo,
stop
listen,
it.
I saw a loser standing watching your blimp. How about that? They were outside. Have you seen Chuck's blimp?
So you're not a fan. You're not a fan of the
Well,
eclipse.
I'm not going to sit outside like an idiot and wait on the darkness.
Did you not wait on your blimp?
I could have waited. It's going to be dark when we go outside.
By the way, if you're wondering what a Ralph's is, it's not a guy named Ralph. On the West Coast, we have grocery stores that are called Ralph's. Go to Ralph's to get milk, not Ralph the guy, Ralph the store. So I'm walking. I take these long walks in the morning because I'm a real exercise freak. And then I sit down and have a latte that has – does that have – what are calories? I don't know. That's true. Hi, Tom. I'm walking through this parking lot on the phone, utterly oblivious, talking to my other producer from my other show, utterly oblivious, and there's seven people who have those – weird glasses looking up at the sky. And I go to my buddy, to my other producer, is that the eclipse? And the woman goes, yeah, do you want to look? And I went from Charles Barkley to a kid on Christmas and about, I go, I'm going to go, and hung up on him. And this very nice lady in the parking lot of a grocery store handed me these glasses, and I looked up at the solar eclipse, and it was fine. Still kind of with Chuck. But it was cool, I guess.
Did she hand you, like, paper glasses that you would get at, like, a 3D movie?
Yeah, well, I don't know. There was different colors and different things, and there was stuff going on. I'll say this. Then I got in my car later, a short time later, and Lori, my wife, had left it on NPR, and people were doing live, the eclipse is happening in whatever area, and people were crying. And later on social media, I saw people were weeping. People were weeping constantly from the. Now, I will say this. This kind of pisses me off, and it'll make my wife mad that I bring it up. I don't care. Our school district forgot, I think, this was happening because solar eclipses aren't planned events, so you can't really get your arms around that. You know, they're a surprise! They're like a surprise party. No, they're not. They're actually celestial movements that you can calculate centuries out if you're so inclined. Or if you're a school district in California, maybe just think about it a couple weeks out. So there was no plan on what kids were allowed to do from school to school. And so my son's school didn't really have a plan, so my wife, he really wanted to see it. And we did not want him to stare at the sun and burn his eyes out. So we sent him with glasses that were then confiscated by a teacher that's not his teacher. He asked for them back three times. She said no. And then he said, I'm going to sue you. So he got what's called a think sheet, where he has to think about what he did wrong. And I had to sign it, and I was like, I didn't really do a lot wrong, but I'm going to sue you. But then he looked at the sun without glasses, so then I had to have that whole, like, hey, man, you can't. Oh, you like that one? Why are you? You can't see Tommy's losing it.
That's a tremendous line by 11-year-old Henry.
I'm going to sue you.
Yep.
Yeah. Let the kid wear the glasses. So this actually bums me out because I don't really care. He really wanted to see it, so he made me look up, or he looked up somehow, when the next one was. And he goes, Dad, how old were you being 21 years? And I did not like the answer. I'd be 67. And he's like, I'll be an adult, but can we still go look at the eclipse together? I go, yeah, we'll make sure there's no teacher there. You have to sue. Let the kid have the glasses.
Yeah, come what on. The heck, man?
And she took the glasses.
And never gave them back.
No. I'm usually the one that has to be the bad cop, get a little aggressive, and my wife Lori is usually the one that says, look, the person didn't mean to, set our car on fire, even though he had a sign that said, I'm going to set our car on fire. We should just, it's okay. It's not a big deal. There's cars everywhere. She just doesn't like confrontation. She was so hot last night. She wanted to fire off notes and emails and have meetings, and I said, I mean, we can. I guess. This is the one? Like, this is the hill.
This is the last straw.
She was really into the solar eclipse. I'll say this. What I saw was maybe, I don't know, a third of the sun covered up. In California, it didn't get dark here. It never got dark, right? It wasn't the same level of it was like, okay, I saw it. You didn't miss much. You didn't watch it. You did not watch it?
Not whatsoever, but it was in the back of my mind as I was driving because my lovely wife, who I love very dearly, was nagging me for the last 3 days. Don't look up at the sun. Don't look up at the sun. I'm trying to drive home now that's in my head, but I didn't do it.
I just remembered who told me they've seen enough sunsets, and it was David, our boss. It's a great call. I was like, I thought when he said that, I, where somebody says something or invents something, and you think that's exactly right. Every time I get an Uber, I'm mad I didn't think of it. Why didn't I think of an Uber app?
We'll think of the next one, the next big invention.
I came up with one yesterday that you really liked, but I don't think I can say it on. I mean, it's a little
yeah, a little risque.
It's a little risque.
Yeah,
yeah. Are you Irish?
Yeah, I am.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a little tease there. It's coming to an app store not near you anytime soon. Yeah, I just the solar eclipse. I don't know. Also, it's a once in a. I think this was David's point too. It's a once in a lifetime event. They tell us that's all that I heard. Once in a lifetime. Fly to Ohio. My in-laws live in Lima, Ohio. Apparently, it was right on the path. There are people everywhere. Fly to Ohio. And then as soon as it's done, as soon as it's done that the once in a lifetime. Then they say, oh yeah, the next one's in 2000, whatever, 37 or 26 or whenever it is. How long's your lifetime? What are you planning on? I mean, it's not once in a lifetime.
What's your life expectancy?
What is going on? Okay. Great stuff. Let's. I got NBA power rankings for you. We haven't done it in a while because I was on vacation. It'll give me a chance to plug yet another podcast you should download. It's very exciting, and it's coming up after we get a CBS Sports Radio update from Andrew Bogish.
Welcome back to Writer Than You.
Doc Rivers is bad for you. He doesn't love you. He's going to break your heart, and it's not going to end well, okay? You got to find somebody else. There's love out there, Milwaukee. Just staying with Doc.
On CBS Sports Radio.
All right, what up? Welcome back into the show. Bill Ryder with you. Happy Tuesday. Tuesdays in April. Or just a Tuesday. But still, happy Tuesday in April. Phone number 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. NBA season's almost over. 3 or 4 games per team. Can I give Adam Silver a ton of credit? I mean, he already deserves a lot of credit. This decision a few years ago to have a play-in tournament where instead of the 7 and 8 seed are locked into the playoffs, the 7, 8, 9, 10 play this complicated, weird, double round, but depends where you are, single game thing to try to get into the playoffs has made the end of the regular season really interesting. The difference between 6th and 7th is so significant, and 8 and 9 is so significant. And this doesn't apply this year, but in theory, 10 and 11 is so significant, paired with how much parity there is in the NBA now, because of the way the CBA was reconstructed several many years ago, means you've got games that are really, really important right down to the wire. And I'll say this, too. I think there's a lot of value out there for those of you that gamble. I put money down on NBA futures because in the past, the differential, for a lot of reasons, this is part of the reason, but really the NBA's attempt, the CBA, to make it easier for small markets to keep players and make it more difficult for big markets to steal players and how the finances work. And this was delayed somewhat by just a numerical anomaly that allowed the Warriors to bring in Kevin Durant and the lack of anticipation that the Warriors would home grow a 73-win team. So that sort of superpower wasn't supposed to be as possible. So it delayed the reality. The outcome is that today, the difference between the 2 seed and even the 8 seed is not necessarily that significant, or the 3 seed. The Bucks are the 2 seed. I just told you Doc Rivers can't be relied upon. I'd rather have the Sixers in the 7-game series if they play each other. They're the 7 right now. The Heat are the 8 seed, but you're telling me that you're really confident the Orlando Magic or a Cavs team that's not playing well, 3 and 5 respectively, are more likely to win those series if they take place? You've got really interesting young teams because young teams can keep their guys together, and in the case of the Timberwolves, they can bring in someone like Gobert. But are the Timberwolves that much better than, say, the Suns? Anyway, I can go through the whole thing. The teams that have some long shot odds, there's some really interesting numbers in there because I think there's a historic change in the incremental differences between top seeds and lower seeds that are playoff bound or play-in bound in the NBA in a way we've never seen. In a lot of ways, it is NBA or NFL-esque. It's not the NFL. I know it's not the NFL. But the way in that if you're the last team that gets into the playoffs in the National Football League, you can still go on a run. We've seen it, right? We know that the difference, the margins are thin. They are smaller than they used to be in the NBA. And that's worth keeping in mind as we get into a historically different edition, sort of NBA Power Rankings.
Some will rise. Others will fall. Let the ranking begin on Writer Than You's NBA Power Rankings. Number 5.
Let me ask you a question before. I know you said 5. I'll have to go back to it. And I'm being serious because there's a team on here that qualifies. We're going to do 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. What's wrong?
No ties.
No, not tie. That's why I was going to do a tie. Now I can't do a tie. After we get through the top team, who is very obvious, correlate to my app I'm going to start. After we get to the top team, there's a bunch of honorable mention. At least you tried. Can I please get you got screwed or something like that? Or Bill, what are you doing, Bill? Something like that.
Jotting it down. You know, right. I love to do work, so that'll definitely get done in a very timely fashion.
Yeah, I can't. Okay. I'm going to write Doug sometime and just see how many times you've reached out to him last year. And he's going to say, who's Tim DeCelestino? I'm going to say his name's Tom. What number are we on, pal?
Number five.
Give me, God help me. Give me the Dallas Mavericks. They are playing so well. And let me give you some, I deep dove into the stats the other day. So Dallas is on a pretty good tear. They've won three in a row. They've won 9 of 10. They're up to the 5 seed. Kyrie and Luka are playing well, but here's the big change. From the start of the season in, at the end of October all the way through March 6, they were awful defensively. By the way, that is a lot of games I'm giving you. That is the majority of the season. They were 23rd in defensive rating. They made some trades at the deadline. There's a couple guys they brought in, but Daniel Gafford is the main guy. And on March 6, they started playing Gafford as a starter, and he started getting real minutes. His minutes, this is real data right here. Minutes went from 17 minutes per game after this trade to send him to the Mavericks to 24 minutes per game. I did the math for you. That's an increase of 41%. And over that 16-game stretch, which, by the way, is a significant sample size in the NBA, and if you believe in momentum, matters because it is now, it is continuing. They are 14-2. They have the number one defensive rating in the NBA. And with that change, they have the number two net rating, which is a fancy way of saying the second most points differential, right, per 100 possessions, very fancy schmancy stuff. I think they're legit. Do I think that transfers necessarily to the playoffs? I do not. I worry about Kyrie, but what they're doing is very, very real.
Number four.
Here's where things get tricky and someone's going to get mad with the, what are you doing, Ryder, that we don't have yet. I have the Philadelphia 76ers here. I recognize that they are, what, the 7 seed? I guess I can't recognize it if I don't know it. I recognize they're somewhere. I don't know. No, they're the 7 seed. And I understand that they have a very difficult path if they fail to avoid Boston. Now, they can. They can get to the 6. They can just win the 7-8 game, and they can play the 2 seed. And I think they'll beat the Bucks in a 7-game series if Embiid's healthy. Embiid just came back. They won 5 in a row. Even when Embiid sat the other day, Tyrese Maxey went off for 50. And it's easy to forget that when Embiid got hurt at the end of January, they were by far the third or fourth best team in the NBA. They were in that category just behind Boston as the best team in the East. I can give you all the stats. Just believe me. Fancy schmancy numbers. They're out there. They're real. Embiid is back. I don't care what their record is. I don't care who I'm slighting. That team is absolutely legit.
Number three.
I mean, give me the Thunder. I know they're on a little, they're not really on a downturn. They're just not as dominant as they had been. They did win the other night. They're a game out of first. They could finish third. They've got a pretty tough schedule the rest of the way compared to the other two. They are fourth in offensive rating. They are third in net rating. They are top 10 in defensive rating, and they're missing their two top scorers. So that's the big thing, is SGA and his co-partner, co-superhero, are hurt or banged up. But the presumption is they're going to be back and they're going to be healthy. I think it's more of a rest thing. I don't think it matters for Oklahoma City really who they play, because coming out of the play-in could be the Lakers or the Warriors. So getting one or two to me is not a huge, huge boon, unless you're Denver, who I think is a lock to be the best team in the West. Point is, OKC, really good.
Number two.
All right, this is the Denver Nuggets. Now we get into the old faithfuls. Is that based on whatever the thing that spouts water? Yellowstone? Is that right, Tom? Old faithful.
I got no idea, man.
It's not based on a dog.
I thought it was.
Yeah, I think it's old faithful is the geyser thing that shoots up whatever. I don't know.
You lost
at a set time. Yeah. Well, you're still here. I can't say that for everybody. That was less than 30 seconds ago. I think the Nuggets are the favorites for me to win an NBA championship. I do think that the East and the West has more landmines, and people recognize the West, but there's more landmines than I think people give credit for in each of those conferences. The Nuggets are so good, and they're probably going to win the West because they have the easiest schedule. They have the 25th strength of schedule. It's only a handful of games, but for the remainder of the season, and they have a much easier schedule than the Timberwolves and the Thunder I just mentioned, who they're chasing for that one spot. Denver, defending champions, real good.
Number one.
The Boston Celtics. Get lucky, Boston. I mean, these guys, whatever. What do you want me to say? 1-5 in a row. Jason Tatum's really good. They added a bunch of guys. I'll be interested to see if it how they play. I don't think the Boston Celtics are going to win 16 games by 31 points. I don't think that they're UConn, what we just saw. I think they're going to be close games. That's how it works. And there is a legitimate question, John, about Jason Tatum and what he can do. That's my co-host over on the other podcast. He's taking a shot because he doesn't see it yet. But he will. He's always a couple weeks behind. The Celtics are great. I just want to see it translate. All right, can I do mine?
Have you lost your mind, Bill?
Yeah, I don't have the Timberwolves on here. They're the top team technically in the Western Conference. They're playing really well. They've won 7 of their last 10. They have the best defense in the NBA. Anthony Edwards is a star. They're doing it without Cat. I just don't think they're as good as these other teams. It's not a slight on the fine folks of Minneapolis or the excellent organization that is the Timberwolves. What a weird name. Timberwolf? Timber! Oh, there's a wolf. Where does Timberwolves come from, Tom? Timber!
I would think it would be the wolves that lived in the forest where they were cutting down all the timber.
Timberwolves.
Yeah.
Timber must mean just wood, right? So when the people yell timber, they're yelling tree in a fancy way.
The tree is falling.
Yeah, why wouldn't you just yell tree? Because timber takes longer to get out. If it's close, that extra vowel might get you.
I feel like if you're in a situation.
Johnny worked hard, but it was the burr that got him. But Tim, started to move.
He turned.
Yeah, I mean, there was a Tim that worked with him. That's why he didn't, he thought he was saying hi to Tim was always messing around. No, it was a timber. Anyway, I'm not as high on the Timberwolves. You want? Give me another one.
Honorable mention.
Can I just do me for what? No, I'm not. It's not me. I will go the Orlando Magic, who have been really, really good. Really good. I just don't. They're young. Paolo Banchero is. I mean, they're good. They're a poor man's Oklahoma City. I don't think that they can do it yet, but they probably deserve a little bit of love. I'll just do one more before I bring up some other random thing.
At least you tried.
This isn't the Milwaukee Bucks. How great is this? I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Bucks fans. I told you. Free fall. Absolute free. What would be amazing? I don't think it'll happen. But if the Bucks just lost the rest of their games and somehow the Magic and the Knicks passed them and they finished in the 4, Milwaukee, and had to play Cleveland, and then if they won that series, would have to play Boston in the second round. I also love the city of Milwaukee. That can ruin anything for me. It's crazy. Do you know what I'm saying about Timber, though? Timberwolves?
I can't get past poor Tim. We're blaming him. It's not his fault.
It's not Tim. Timber! Oh, no. I thought he meant... Oh, no. And the tree got me.
Tim did it again.
We went by a tree mill? Is that what they call it on vacation? There were a lot. It's crazy how big those trees are they just cut down. Do you think in modern treeing, they're yelling timber? Probably not, right?
No, I'm going to go with yeah. I'm going to say yeah. They are.
What would you rather do? Cut down like the last part of a tree and yell timber in the woods, or stop the presses and yell, stop the presses?
Stop the presses seems pretty fun.
Yeah, I want to do stop. Let me ask you this question. I asked this question on the podcast, Beyond the Arc, subscribe and like. I don't think they love the question, but I did, so I'm going to ask you. What is more volatile, Anthony Davis's health over a 2-month playoff run or Draymond Green's potential antics to get him suspended over a 2-month playoff run?
Draymond Green.
It's a good question.
I agree. I think it's a valid question.
Come on. We're beyond the arc here. We can do other stuff. We're not in the arc. Let's go beyond it. Let's extend past those comfort zones.
Did you say that yesterday, too?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, good, good.
I think I just said, hey, nobody answered my question. One of them stared at me and the other answered it. It's a fun listen. Subscribe on YouTube. Like, homing pigeon. I don't know how it works. Timber! All right. I think we're going to get John. We're efforting John Rothstein next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Thank you. What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.